This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley, back from vacation as we begin a Monday into Hot-tober. Gary, how are you? We got our summer renewed again and extended where we live.
A couple more days, we could hit 90. So, and then we get it.
Yeah, then we'll be
75.
We're gonna be screaming and hunkering down. It's 75 degrees. It's way too cold.
Well, I'm golfing on Friday here in Texas, and I think it was about 83, 84 was the high. And I'm out there thinking, it's almost chilly.
Yeah.
And that was after being in Buffalo for a couple of days where it was raining and, you know, in the 60s and things like that. But
yeah.
So really most of yesterday. And I try to on this, especially the Sunday when I wake up, because knowing that I've been on a different sleep pattern, I get up real early. So I was up at 4 a.m. And so I get up at 4 a.m, have coffee, clean the house, about 6 o'clock start working out, worked out as much as possible before noon, in order to be tired. But the entire day I kept blocking out of my mind that I had to do a show.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to think of all the things that I had, all the topics and all the issues and all the stories that we had to cover this morning, because I had no idea where we were going to start because there's so many things going on. And so normally I worry about it. I'm like, how am I going to organize it? How are we going to do this? How are we going to organize it?
Well, there's no way to do that. There's no way to organize it.
And I just said, no, from now on, I'm just going to forget about it and just, you know, we come on and we just start talking and go, okay, first thing that comes to mind, and, you know, we've got all the stories here in front of us, all the 40, 45, 50 different stories from last week into this week. And the thing is, you just can't start on a lot of the stories. You just can't start today. You have to go back and say, in reference to what was going on last week, because everything moves so quickly.
Right. Yeah, a number of things that that happened last week. And everything over the weekend, and who knows what's going to happen this week. It moves so quickly now. Everything moves at such a high pace. It's kind of like, and I've never been in a situation where my home was flooded, you know, due to a storm. And I always watch the videos and the coverage of that, and I always feel for people trying to sweep up the water. You know what I mean? It just seems like there's no way to make that happen, to actually get that cleanup done. I have a friend, actually, that just moved out of New Orleans after living there for years, and he told me it's as bad as you would ever think, right, sweeping up after a flood. But that's what it's like. It's trying to sweep up water that just keeps coming. In organizing a show every night, you're just trying to sweep up water, and I'm not trying to demean the very serious situation of a flood, but that's what it feels like. It's the same dynamic. It just feels like you're not ever going to be able to get everything back in order.
So I look at what we have to do when we come back from vacation as not what we're going to do today, but can we get everything in the week?
Yeah, right.
And I realize that's the mindset without driving myself crazy on Sunday. That's the only way that you can do it. And so as I sit here going, all right, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? The overview. Just the overview of everything last week, looking at, well, we'll start off with the Biden administration. My God, what a disaster.
It's getting worse.
I mean, it's just
it's getting worse. And And here's my question. You talk about trying to sweep up a mess that you really can't get, you know, cleaned up. There, we've got over 3 years left in this presidency. And it's, you know, what do we got? 3 years and 3 months.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know what the planning, the daily planning at the White House would look like. How do you try and clean up the image of someone who is incompetent and clueless?
I don't know. Bring Chris Wallace in as a publicity, as public relations director.
Yeah, maybe.
Since he sat there and went, oh, Jen Psaki, one of the greatest, you know, one of the greatest press secretaries ever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking to myself, again, we've criticized him severely many, many times, but it shows you what happens when you're inside Washington to that extent, where the only way, because he didn't get into specifics.
Right.
It was just going back and forth to Ducey. He was just saying, oh, one of the best press secretaries, because she continues to make a fool out of herself, lying. And the thing that really got me on that was when Chris Matthews, when Chris Wallace said that, was he was talking about the back and forth between Ducey and Psaki on the southern border. And you saw some of that footage that came out.
Yeah.
That the Mexican police can't keep some of the people from coming over, the illegal immigrants from coming across the border. They broke that line.
Right.
And so that went viral. And he said, when is he going to go to the border? He hasn't been to the border. And I want to play, let me just play this quick clip here as to what she said. Here it is.
That he did drive through the border when he was on the campaign trail in 2008.
And that was the back and forth that he was saying, that's what makes her a great press secretary.
Yeah.
And right. And all I could think of, that's like, I don't know, me looking at my leg and having a huge kind of large tumor on it.
Mm-hmm.
And people coming up to me and saying, aren't you going to go to the doctor? And I say, I went in 2008. Right. You need to go to the doctor. You haven't gone to the doctor. Yes, I went to the doctor in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because she will involve herself in such outrageous lies and outrageous deflection that is absurd, he views that as being a great press secretary. You know what a great press secretary would be? If every time that she spoke, his numbers went up 5 points.
Mm-hmm. Which is never going to happen with this president.
No, it's not. But that would make a great press secretary if you could.
If she could turn Biden's numbers around,
right,
she would be the best ever.
Right.
She can't. That's not going to happen.
But in order to come to that conclusion, I'm thinking Chris Wallace must look and say, okay, she lies about everything, but she's very confident in her lies, and the public are idiots, and so they pick up on it, so therefore she's great because, or the people are stupid, they don't pick up on it, and they buy what she's saying. Well, they're not buying what she's saying.
No. No, they're not. No, they're clearly not.
No. So, I mean, that was just... You just see that, and then that comes out. Was that Saturday he said that, or whenever he said it up here in the last couple of days? I'm just like, my God, it's delusional.
It really is, and it is, you know, I think the it adds to my theory that there is some kind of parallel virus or some kind of other effect from COVID that we haven't realized yet. And that's people losing their ever-loving minds.
Well, and then you look at everything. Merrick Garland, wow, did he look weak.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, did he look weak. I think that a significant portion of the people in the Biden administration should Buttigieg it.
They should take a few months off.
Because that was the best analysis when I was gone. So I forgot who.
Oh, for those that don't know
the analysis.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Pete Buttigieg is currently the transportation secretary. Also, if you didn't know, he's been off work for a couple of months on paternity leave.
And so when he when I think it was last week, he finally made an appearance on the Sunday morning news shows when we were on vacation, or a couple of them, and really had nothing. And someone said, isn't it really embarrassing when your transportation secretary and all this stuff's been going on for months and nobody asked for a significant period of time, where is Buttigieg? That's how useless people know he is. Yeah. He can't solve any problem. You think Buttigieg knows anything about ports?
No.
Do you think he knows anything about transportation?
Nope.
Do you think he knows anything about the science of transportation or the infrastructure of what it takes to move goods?
Nope. And his boss doesn't care. So
no, he doesn't care.
Incompetence and the fact that I can't find anybody in this administration that cares about the situation at the ports, situations at the border. We're still talking about the tragedy of Afghanistan. And, of course, we can add to it inflation. Man, I saw a lot about inflation over there, just anecdotally. Oh. Inflation it seemed about a 24-hour cycle. There were a number of people that were posting about it going, what in the world is going on?
Well, and then the narrative while we were on vacation is everything is bad because it's good.
Uh-huh, right.
Well, inflation is terrible because everything's going so great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All the cargo ships are lined up because people are buying so many goods. The economy is booming, and therefore the cargo ships can't get it here quick enough. And it was pointed out the economy was booming before COVID too, and they could move those goods and services in.
Right.
There hasn't been an increase in the GDP or in the increase in consumer goods compared to what was going on before COVID. So it's all a line of BS.
Right.
It's so bizarre that you just you shake your head. But I think one of the telling things was when SNL really pounded on Biden this past weekend, it shows it's fully through all of popular culture. There's nobody who wasn't getting paid to defend him that's defending him.
Right.
If you're not getting paid to defend him, you're not defending him. And so you see that Merrick Garland very quickly, the fact of talking about Loudoun, Virginia, where I don't know. I didn't hear about that. I didn't hear about that. I didn't hear about that. I didn't hear about that.
Right.
I didn't hear about that.
Right.
I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that. Everything was, I am completely and totally clueless as to anything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like,
well, this is,
wow.
But this is the play. And I thought to myself, all right, what has to be the play there is, oh, well, that's just a Fox News story. That's just a Daily Caller story. I don't pay attention to Fox News or Daily Caller. In other words, it's not really happening. Well, there is the arrogance in this administration that runs through all of it. You know, Pete Buttigieg, just like his boss at one time, had to be bothered to make an appointment for an interview and talk about something that was critical. You know, these are people who absolutely do not care. And playing, I don't know, isn't going to cut it when parents are livid.
You see the poll, it doesn't cut it either, being on paternity leave when you have that type of role in the government.
Right. You want to take a week off, that's one thing.
When you're part of the United States cabinet, sorry, the same rules don't apply. And if you think you do, if you think that they do, then you're just being, again, you're being paid to defend this administration.
Yeah.
And it just was. Yeah. And so you had that. Then you had, his town hall on Friday.
Oh, yeah. No, was weird.
Then you had that. Oh, but the memes.
Yeah.
The Beavis memes.
The Beavis memes. He's got his arms out. No, but you know what? It was also further proof that he's basically become Izzy Mandelbaum. He looked like, put a couple of small dumbbells in his hands in that meme. It's Izzy Mandelbaum.
I didn't even think about
no,
that.
No, it's Izzy Mandelbaum.
Oh.
It's exactly what I thought. I thought, it's like he's playing into it.
I was so enthralled with the Beavis, or when the hands were out there and so they were on the rocket jetpack.
Yeah.
When he was asked about inflation, you saw that one where it wasn't a meme. It was actually a little video where where he just, well, let's talk about inflation here. He just takes off right out of the studio.
Right. Yeah.
But that's the problem, is it's into popular culture that he's completely incompetent.
Well, again, there is no substance at all coming out of this White House that is a positive for this president or his administration at all.
And we'll keep talking because there's still a ton more to talk about just in the overview about what a terrible week it was.
Yeah.
Just mind-boggling terrible. Coming up next, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So, yeah, then you get to the president and the CNN town hall meeting, which, by the way, bad move again. And I'm telling you, they're looking at it right now saying, we have no choices but bad choices. And if he goes into hiding, we believe that that's worse than having him out even in friendly territory. Where he'll mess up, because he messed up big time.
Right, yeah.
Wall Street Journal had their editorial saying, wow, this just, the world looks at this and goes, my God, what in the hell's going on with the United States president here? You know, when he talked about rising gas prices, did you see that answer? Blamed OPEC for not producing more and said, but ultimately the answer is investing in renewable energy.
Right.
Well, that doesn't change anything. He's just throwing out talking points that anybody hears. It just says, but I need it now.
Right.
I can't afford an electric car. I can't afford a car. I have my car now.
Right.
What are you going to do now? Well, we're going to make it and have policies that will ensure that fossil fuels, including gasoline, goes up over the next decade. That's what we plan to do, because we plan to eliminate automobiles, the internal combustion automobile. In fact, we don't want them produced in another 10 years. Yeah. Sell that one.
Yeah,
the National Guard thing, everything that the State Department had to come out the next day and say, "Whoa, no, that's not our policy with Taiwan." He wasn't getting anything
this is
right.
The problem, it's where you started, and it's the world is watching him literally on a stage during a town hall meeting, and saying, "We cannot trust the U.S. under this leadership." That's a massive, massive problem with trade and national security. It's a huge problem. Here's your forecast.
The latest big storm just off the Pacific coast in the northwest will continue to impact large parts of the west coast through the first part of this week. That strong onshore flow will continue to bring precipitation into the northern and central parts of California today, which will bring heavy rainfall. The amount of moisture is expected to bring serious flash flooding to the region, and it's important to note here that areas that don't usually flood just might with this storm. Into the higher elevations of the Sierras, that precipitation will produce heavy snow in some areas, particularly through this afternoon. Meanwhile, an area of low pressure is bringing the threat of severe weather to the Central Plains and Ohio River Valley this morning in the form of heavy rain, hail, and possibly a few tornadoes. We'll have to keep out an eye for thunderstorms and the potential of flash flooding across the region as well. Eventually, the system will move into the Mid-Atlantic and Southern Appalachians this afternoon and could eventually bring heavy rain into New England before moving off the coast on Tuesday. And that's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Bill Rakoff.
Pandemic Heroes, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary, 866-90 Red Eye. Then.
And then
you had the National School Boards Association having to apologize for that letter. Then you had, National Institutes of Health official come out and said, well, yeah, we did fund gain of function research. Then that may not get Fauci. Fauci probably will be in the news a lot this week.
I'm guessing.
And it may not be because of that NIH admission. It may be because of puppies.
Out of all of this, a massive pandemic, everything going on, and then this will get the, you're right, this will get the attention. It will be about the puppies.
Yes. And this is where the NIH apparently provided a grant to a lab in Tunisia. And part of the experiments tortured and killed dozens of beagle puppies. According to the documents obtained by the Freedom of Information Act requested by the taxpayer watchdog group White Coat Waste Project and subsequent media coverage, they spent $1.68 million in taxpayer funds on drug tests involving 44 beagle puppies. The White Coat Waste Project report claimed that the researchers locked the dogs in cages with hungry sandflies so that the insects could eat them alive. Some of the puppies were also allegedly injected with disease-causing parasites. The commission tests involving injecting and force-feeding the puppies an experimental drug for several weeks before killing them and dissecting them, the lawmakers wrote. The bipartisan group also raised concerns about allegations that scientists slit dogs' vocal cords so that they wouldn't bark. During the experiments, the cruel procedure, which is opposed with rare exceptions by the American Veterinary Medical Association, the American Animal Hospital Association, and others, seems to have been performed so that the experimenters would not have to listen to the pain cries of the beagle puppies. Now, what the actual research was for? I mean, I was reading an article in National Review where they're like, "Look, there's still some questions here." But there's questions that need to be answered.
Yeah.
As to whether this was necessary or not.
Right.
But you look at it, you know, a pandemic that, as we know, has killed, what, millions of people?
Yes. But this is what will get people's attention.
Yes, this will get people's attention, which will then go right into the gain of function research. But expect Fauci. Rand Paul already came out yesterday and said
he should resign. Yeah.
Yeah, he should.
He needs to step down.
Be resigned or fired or what? He won't be fired no matter what, because Biden just won't fire anybody.
I don't know if Biden knows who Fauci is.
I just looked at Eric and rolled my eyes.
I blurted that out as a smarmy comment. And the moment, actually, as I was saying it, I thought to myself, wait a minute. I really don't know if he knows who Fauci is. My question for the president, Mr. President, can you tell me Dr. Fauci's current position? I mean, that's how bad it is.
Well, you're going to have Rand Paul just pounding over and over again the fact that, because and expect it to be played back a lot. The back and forth. I know Fauci was on CNN and, you know, was trying to give the medical explanation as to why it was different and why Rand Paul was lying. He's walking the plank.
Yeah.
Right now on this. So, you know, you had that. And then we finally get to the weekend and Black Lives Matter. Hundreds of Black Lives Matter protesters. I don't know, or 1,000 was it?
Yeah. They said it was somewhere in the area of 1,000.
Yeah. In New York City, protesting, demanding that Kyrie Irving be able to play in the NBA game.
Right. You know, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, that this was likely going to be one of the new fronts in the protest against the vaccine mandates.
Yeah,
and, of course, it's now going to heat up because it's, you know, they've got to decide one way or the other. They've got to decide if this is going to be what the policy is going to be and how it's going to affect. And you know, you've got an organization that has star players that put people in seats. People pay money for those seats. They want to see those star players. That's how that works. And who would have thought? I mean, going back a couple of years. You know, the year that the NBA and other organizations embraced Black Lives Matter, gave them prominent role in essentially a visual role, at least, and a place inside the organization. And at the end of the season, that first season of that, the NBA commissioner said, well, it won't be as prominent next year, and they had moved on. And who would have thought it would be Black Lives Matter now protesting, you know, because an NBA player can't play because of vaccine mandates. This is inevitable when you are part of the liberal circular firing squad. It's going to come around at some point. Number one, we've been talking about how the whole vaccine mandate and people who didn't want to get vaccinated had nothing to do with their political background or their skin color. It was across the board for different reasons. And we were right on that, and it's playing out now, and the liberals have to be scratching their heads going, what happened?
Well, yeah, and you and I also talked about a couple of months ago the fact that, you know, when the narrative was from Democrats that it was Trump supporters that, you know, weren't
right.
getting it. We
right.
said, wait a minute. When you actually look at the numbers out there, because the numbers are right there. The numbers are clear for anybody to see.
Yep.
And there's a number. You can go to Johns Hopkins. You can go to Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
You can go right to the CDC,
right.
which is reporting exactly what's going on. And if you don't trust the CDC, well, the numbers from the CDC have shown for the longest time that for the past year, the greater percentage of a particular racial demographic that was not getting vaccinated was blacks,
mm-hmm.
to a greater degree than, for example, Hispanics. Even though Hispanics were lower, whites actually were the number one. So it was blacks and then Hispanics that, for the most part, were not getting vaccinated. And we said, wait till this hits because, you know, they're throwing out as if it's just Trump supporters. Well, Trump made the vaccine with his own hands.
That's right, in a lab coat at the White House
and
the Oval Office,
and promoted it. And was when finally it's like, you got to say, what do you mean? I got to say, I got the vaccine. I had
right.
it. I got the vaccine.
Right.
I'm the one that fast tracked the vaccine.
Right.
My administration.
They mocked him when he said on a debate stage that he expected the vaccine to happen soon, to be approved right. soon. And they said, really? And everybody, all the liberal media was laughing at him after, during, and after that debate.
Ah. Mm. Just about, it was a year ago.
Yeah, it
right
was.
Now, just
sure
a
was.
Year ago. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
And the only one that ever, the only people that ever, Trump never said, Trump never gave any indication not to get the vaccine.
Right.
Who did? Biden?
Yep.
Harris?
Yep.
Cuomo?
Don't trust it. Don't trust
right.
it. The day that, and I think it was the Pfizer efficacy report came out, and Cuomo, remember, Cuomo was going to be the guy. If Biden couldn't get it done, it was going to be Cuomo.
Yep.
He was the standby. He was the seat filler. He was going to step in. But, and the point is that liberals at that point were looking at him. At least if he couldn't do it then in the future, he could be the president one day. Apparently, that's not going to happen. But he came out and said, no, this is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
We're not going to trust it. I don't want it. He was still governor of New York at that time. I don't want it in my state. And we're going to do everything we can to stop it.
And
this is how it went down.
Then when it came time for distribution, mm-hmm. he said, no, our health department's going, we're going to have to approve it before. And we said, nope, he's going to approve it.
Right.
And it got approved.
Yes, because the people of his state
right.
wanted the vaccine.
And so, I mean, it's just, where was I here on this one? On the vaccine mandate. So, mm-hmm. we had said this way back then. We said, wait a minute, there's going to be a ton of problems here. You and I've talked about, you know, whether it's the NBA doing it, mm-hmm. any other company, governments, whatever, you're going to find if it comes out that EEOC, mm-hmm. you know, oh, and we're wondering whether OSHA's looking at this right now too.
Right.
You come out with something that disproportionately affects blacks.
Right.
The vaccine mandate, right. whether government mandated or company mandated, affects blacks to a greater proportion of their population because they are the ones that, for the percentage of their population, have not taken the vaccine. EEOC involved in it right then.
Oh, yeah.
The government will be it's almost like I was dying laughing yesterday. The Virginia Democrats are now suing the United States Postal Service under the Biden administration that has said, that came out and said, in order to make the Postal Service survivable, it's going to take a lot longer for mail to get there. And we right. said, well, wait a minute. Democrats are going to sue their own postal, you know, because it's under the Biden administration now. Mm-hmm. It's going to sue the Postal Service because it's going to take longer for mail to get there, which means it's going to disenfranchise people. And that's what they're doing. They're doing yes. now. The Virginia right. Democrats right. are going to sue the right. USPS. You can't do this.
Right.
Mail has to be faster.
Right. I mean, this is exactly where we are, and there is no fix. Actually, there is a fix. A very different administration in charge.
That's not happening for 3 years
not
and 3 months.
Not going to happen for 3 years and 3 months. That's, if you're keeping charge, that's 39 months we have left in the Biden administration, if you're keeping track, rather. Oh, my gosh. 39 more months. We were off a week, and it felt like we were off a month with everything going on.
Yeah.
That was at least a month's worth of stories that happened in a week.
Well, we'll talk about this coming up following the top of the hour, because it really is interesting when we take off for a week and mm-hmm. I'm not in here doing this every day mm-hmm. and the mind isn't working in the same way, where you do get in the, and we recognize that when you do this, you can get into the bubble of just the, you know, the what's going on in Twitter, Facebook, mm-hmm. The Washington insiders, everything else. And then you just get out a little bit and you start talking to people, as I did. And the one interesting thing I want to bring up from the top of the hour, the anger that exists out there that I found yeah. from about 5-6 different people
right.
that have got COVID. They got it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are furious that they are being discriminated against. I mean, livid. These are people that now, they're conservative, but they're not, they don't really pay attention to anything that's going on. They vote conservative. These are people that I know, some distant family members and friends. They're not like, they don't listen to talk radio every day. They may turn to talk radio once every 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, they're raising families, doing stuff, very conservative. I can't tell you, they looked at me with the frustration of, why the hell am I being discriminated against? What's going on? As if I had the answers for them, because I'm the talk show host. Mm. But I got that when I was on vacation from a number of people there. But I didn't. The anger. I've had it. I went through it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being told, you know, and they were very smart as to knowing the fact of the Israeli study to begin with. What the Israeli study showed, that the vaccines are extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even get to the point last week where, no, we did, because that was a week before, where it had come out where you had the members of the FDA that approved it said, for the Moderna, they said, we don't see a need. We're right. going to approve it, but
right.
we don't see
there
what
seems
the need
to be
is.
This entire process, if you follow what happened last week while we were gone, the entire process, no rhyme or reason.
No, none. And they pay attention to that. They pay attention to that news. They knew that.
Right,
but
right.
they were extremely educated as to what's going on. And they're like, this just frustrates the hell out of us. Why can't we get straight answers from this government?
Because it's all about agenda. Yeah. And nothing makes sense because they don't know what they're doing.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. After listening to you during the break there, following the top of the hour, I think we should just go over what happened last week with all the vaccines, just in a general form as to what is true and what is not true and why what's going on is going on.
Right. And because it's chaotic, no rhyme or reason.
Right.
You know, and it just seems to be that it really is. The president, it's clear that those two FDA officials stepping down, it's clear they felt like they were being pressured by the president. They were being pressured by the administration. And so now you take into account all the, you know, I couldn't make heads or tails of all the crap that came out last week over the boosters. Much less still trying to make heads or tails of what came out the week before.
Yeah, but we believe we know what's happened.
Well, I know what's happening. Why couldn't they get it together and at least try and get a consistent message? When did they lose the ability to do that is my question.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio. On Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Thank you for being here. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream our show live. Or you can download our app, put it on your phone, and listen 24/7, 365. So, we've got so much on the show to cover today, but just when We were talking about just the disaster of the Biden administration over the last week across the board on everything.
Yeah,
I mean, just
right.
I don't care what is the border, gas prices, inflation. It just was a disaster, including the COVID messaging.
Yeah,
last week, and this had hit just when we were leaving on vacation.
Right on. That Friday. You know, when we left here. You know, there was word out about and the stories that came out about the booster for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and it was just all over the place.
Well, the first one was Moderna when we were going on.
Moderna happened before we left.
Right, yes, exactly.
And
right.
But on that Friday, the messaging there was all over the place. But then on Friday, it was much of the same on the whole Johnson & Johnson thing. And we talked about Dr. Michael Carilla when we talked about the Moderna story from earlier that week, right? Again, going back almost a couple of weeks now. But he addressed the Johnson & Johnson people and said, quote, "The reality is that your vaccine does seem to be holding up actually quite well in terms of durability. So the immediate need for a booster is not apparent." Yet the panel voted to recommend a booster.
Same thing they said about Moderna.
Exactly. And where they, if you look at it, where they seem to be going is overall efficacy from getting the virus. And still they say, well, across the board, all three, if you're fully vaccinated, the efficacy to protect against severe, like hospitalization, the severe effects of COVID, and of course death, seem to be high, very high still. So, okay, so now we're talking about protecting against breakthrough cases. So then we can get into the, all right, 65 and over, the most vulnerable, right? Those with compromised immune systems. Because at this point, I'm thinking to myself, you know, first of all, they were all over the place in these meetings and in their comments. And really no rhyme or reason other than really it just reeked of agenda. That seems to be, and we know that the two FDA officials who decided to step down It was clear they felt pressured by the Biden administration to push for a vaccine booster recommendation. And, you know, the question here is, how far do you let something like this go? Because, again, we got another 3 years and 3 months of this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to keep pushing this. And now the CDC, you know, saying, oh, no, you can mix and match. In fact, CDC recommendations now allow for the type of mix and match dosing for booster shots, which is to say, well, if you got the Moderna the first time, well, you can get the Pfizer next time. Or if you got the Pfizer, you can get the Johnson & Johnson. You got the Johnson & Johnson, go ahead and get the Moderna. Can you spell out in plain English just a couple of sentences as to why? Because as they, again, one of the doctors on the panel telling Johnson & Johnson, don't know, your shot seems to be very effective.
Well,
which, by the way, was the whole idea. The whole idea for vaccines was to keep people out of hospitals and from dying.
Right. And this is a key point that I want to make here, because this is the key point from where we were in April of 2020.
Right.
And we said from the very beginning, take politics out of it.
Right.
You know, it's a virus. Let's treat it like a virus. We know that politics is involved in it completely. For the sake of this discussion, we're keeping politics out of it. We're just analyzing what the government is saying and the mixed messaging that they're giving. But originally it was, as we all know, all you have to do is go on social media and you'll see it, 15 days to flatten out the curve.
Right.
So hospitals, aren't overrun with it.
Right.
Hospitals in most of the United States right now are not overrun with COVID cases at all. Not even close. If you've seen, and we've gone through it, and I looked at it just before we got on the air again, I did take a couple of days off and didn't look at it, but if you look in the southern states, it's just crashing. It's crashing, the numbers out there. But no longer is it about, before it was about the hospitals, then it was about breakthrough cases where, breakthrough cases that could affect the elderly, whatever, right?
Right.
Yeah. But if you look at it right now, you have 96.3% of those over the age of 65 that have the first shot. 85% have had the second shot. I think you're already at 13 or 14% of those over 65 that have already gotten the booster shot. If you look at where we're at right now, which it's not about actually, it's not the great concern from this government is to stop the spread completely.
Right.
And if you can't stop the spread completely, then fire people, from their jobs. You can't work here in critical industries.
Right.
Absolutely critical industries.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals, police, firefighters. And you look at it and you say, well, wait a minute. Police and firefighters, for the most part, not that you don't have, because I've seen a police officer was lost in my town who was 51. I don't know whether they had underlying conditions or whatever, but for the most part, COVID is something that affects you if you're me.
Mm.
And if you're obese, one of the things that hasn't been talked about enough is how it has affected people that are obese. Mm. They are the ones that seriously have problems with it. If your underlying condition are obese, that's the worst that you can have, and especially if you're right. over 65.
Right.
But the vast majority have been vaccinated. But it's no longer about the fact of even anymore we need to keep the hospitals and we need to keep the death rate way down, because that's going down now.
Yeah.
That's going down.
Right.
And so what we're trying to say is we need everybody to get vaccinated so there is no chance of a spread, otherwise you get fired. In critical industries, and what isn't being talked about that was, we may look at another year or two down the road, how many people didn't get cancer checkups? How many people, well, now with the hospitals and everything else, how many people aren't getting the proper, getting the proper treatment of what they should get? What's mm-hmm. going to happen at many mm-hmm. of these hospitals and other systems out there? You saw that DeSantis now is saying, hey, cops, come down to Florida, $5,000
right.
signing bonus.
Right.
We're going to try to get that approved, I guess, later on today.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to get that that vote in. And so you look at it, and it's almost as if, well, it is as the government is saying, we need to eradicate the spread completely, or we need to still be in a shutdown mentality.
Well, because in that meeting, and again, this goes back to the report coming out on the 15th, that Friday we left on the Johnson & Johnson booster, Dr. Michael Carilla again noted that there was some potential benefit against emerging variants, after saying that he didn't see the immediate need for a booster. But that's important, because that's what the CDC put in their language as well, from the CDC. The best way, vaccination remains the best way to protect yourself and reduce the spread of the virus and help prevent new variants from emerging. They're trying to set up the pre-argument. My question is, show me the science where that is going on. Show me your work, as my math teacher used to say. Show me your work. Show me, plain English this for me, and tell me why that's the case. You know, when the Delta variant started to emerge.
They did.
What?
They did relate what the science is. The science is you don't need the booster.
Well, again,
that's from them.
Except they're saying it's recommended now across the board.
Well,
you can even mix and match.
Well, why is it recommended for something that we have not analyzed yet? A potential future variant that doesn't exist.
That's what there's the word potential.
Yes.
Not something that we have seen, and how many cases we have here. So, again, show me the science. There isn't any. Show me your work. There isn't any, because it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And you're trying to gain the trust of a public right now that has a significant number of people that still have not gotten the first vaccination. You think you're going to push this? And now Biden wants to push vaccinations for kids 5 to 11 years old for school. Oh, wow. Good luck with that with parents.
Well, we saw the polling on that. Well, but again, what's missed in this completely is the fact that, and it's pretty simple. When you see that the vaccines available really since January,
mm-hmm.
and you see now that those are the most vulnerable, 96.3% have gotten the first shot. Eric, you don't get 96.3% for anything.
Right.
What was it? They said that mandated the for children's vaccines, that are mandatory to go to
mm-hmm.
school.
Mm-hmm.
Still, that's at 90%.
Yeah, I was going to say that's right around 90.
Right. It's around 90%. Right. They can't even get to 96% there.
Right.
Why? People that are at risk. The mm-hmm. people that said, oh, okay, what are the stats? Oh, wow. This thing can be extremely lethal. And I say extremely lethal, where it could be, anywhere between whatever demographic you're in from 65 or above with an underlying condition, probably 5 to 15% in the beginning.
In terms of the virus itself.
The virus itself, possible, serious illness or death at that point, which is extremely high. But it goes way, way down when you move down into the age groups, as we all know. That hasn't changed. Have you heard that's changed?
No,
I've never heard that has changed in any way. Well, those people, what? 96.3% of them got vaccinated. That's everybody. That's conservatives. That's liberals. That's communists. I got to make sure we include those that are part of the elderly, far left in the Democratic Party.
Yes.
That includes everyone. There is no political ideology that hasn't been fulfilled. So when they were running with that, we said stop that, because when they were really hitting that, it was up to 80-85% by that point. We said no. The vast majority of people that are at risk. It's not a political thing. It's am I at risk? I'm at risk.
Yeah. Well, this is exactly what
other people
are down to. If you're trying to push this on a public. The decision, we're at the point now where the decision has already been made one way or the other.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. And I think from here on, I mean, it's going to be, and we saw the boosters going out, and it's likely, because it's 65-plus primarily, that are getting the boosters right now, and that's going to be, again, recommendation likely from the caretakers. You're not going to gain the trust of the American public with the gibberish that they put out from these meetings over the past few weeks.
And that's a frustration that I saw when I was on vacation from a lot of people that don't pay. I mean, they're not like inside the bubble like we are, right, or even talk radio listeners are.
Right. Right.
They're just, okay, we're paying attention to what's going on. And it's like, well, wait a minute, we're vaccinated. Or excuse me, not we're vaccinated. Excuse me, we're, you know, we've had it. We've had COVID. We went through this.
We have natural immunity.
You know, we've got the natural. Why is that being discounted completely?
Right.
And that's
when we were told that and see, there's my question too with the studies on the boosters. The Delta was a very fast moving variant. It moved quickly through the population. So as we go along with more and more, and this would be my question for the pharmaceutical companies. How many of these subjects already had COVID? Would be my question. Because if we're talking about, this is again about if you believe that they're effective, if you believe it's effective, and you're trying to sell the public on it, well, after a year, more than a year and a half of this being out here, I mean, we're getting close to, you know, the 2-year mark as we come up here in a few months. Tell me how many of those subjects already had the natural immunity and had the antibodies and maybe never showed one symptom.
Can they
demonstrate right. that to us? This is the concern. Because is it more effective because we've built our own immunity naturally in part? Who's going to answer that question?
Here's the other question that I would ask. If you're stating that, if these doctors are stating there's no need for it, but we're going to do it anyway because potentially has future benefits, it means you're saying it's not needed.
Right.
That's the doc. These are the people on the FDA that are stating
it right now.
There's not a need for it.
Right.
Then why are we doing it?
Right.
Because it potentially, and so is a booster, because you saw Walensky saying, well, we may change the definition of fully vaccinated down the road here. Based on potentially what might happen?
And that's the concern. Because if OSHA writes a regulation, they're going to have to include the boosters. You know they are.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on distracted driving. Dispatching devices. Communicating with your dispatcher is an important part of your job as a driver. But did you know that using a dispatching device while driving is just as dangerous as being on your phone? Research shows that using your dispatching device requires you to take your eyes off the road for longer than dialing a cell phone does. In fact, a 2009 study showed that using a dispatching device while driving made a driver 900% more likely to be involved in a safety-critical event. Some dispatching devices have been improved to have a hands-free interface, but even then, it is safer to wait until you've stopped driving so you can keep your eyes on the road. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by National Truck Protection and Premium 2000 Plus, the number one selling aftermarket truck warranties in North America, available at thousands of used truck dealers everywhere.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So that's what I would ask from a scientific point of view to these members of the FDA panel, that the loudest members were the ones that said it's not needed.
Right.
We don't see any reason for Moderna, J&J. I don't know, because Pfizer was a month ago, and they didn't seem – so I didn't hear, except for the fact that even though that may have a lower rate when it comes to the efficacy of getting the virus. It's still holding up in serious illness and death.
Right.
So as far as I know, it's all three of them. I know without question it's Moderna and J&J. But you had the loudest voices coming out. It was clear. I mean, that was you didn't have anybody coming out saying, no, it's needed because it's going to do. Nobody was challenging them on the panel, were they?
I didn't see, well, at least it wasn't reported, I guess. And I would love to see the minutes from that. But from the CDC website for individuals who received a Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, the following groups are eligible for a booster shot at 6 months or more after their initial series. And it goes through, you know, 65 or older, mm-hmm. for those in long-term care settings or underlying medical conditions or high-risk settings if you work in a high-risk setting. But it is just right now just seems to be, again,
a cluster.
A cluster. Push it because, well, the boosters or the vaccines overall are working.
And masked, Gary and Eric on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric, and I'm Gary. 86690 Red Eye. If I was masked, yeah. You and I were just talking about it because that's the thing that came to me last week. Number one, because we had talked about the fact that why didn't the FDA and the CDC explain why can you mix them now? Because we were told in the very beginning, no, you need to get a Moderna shot 4 weeks later. You need to get the Pfizer shot, right?
Yeah.
3 weeks later.
Yeah.
You don't mix and match. Now you can. Why did it change?
Well, listen to this. Yeah. Here it is. All right. So now they're from the CDC. There's recommendation for all three. Pfizer and Moderna, if you're 65 and older and have the underlying conditions and such. Johnson & Johnson, if you got it more than 2 months ago, go get another one. Nothing else on that. Just if it's been longer than 2 months, yeah, go ahead. Now, there are now booster recommendations for all three available COVID-19 vaccines in the U.S. This is, again, from the CDC website. Eligible individuals may choose which vaccine they receive as a booster dose. Some people may have a preference, like you're at Baskin-Robbins, for the vaccine type that they originally received, and others may prefer to get a different booster. It's like children are running this nation.
There is no self-awareness as to the messages that they gave out before versus the messages that they give out now. There seems to be no self-awareness that when you come out and you've got members of the panel, which remember in the FDA panel for Moderna before we left, it was, you know, the two coming out, you know, saying, no, there's the ones that were extremely vocal saying, no, that we don't see a reason for it, but we voted for it anyway.
Right.
We're like, why? Because that's where things seem to be going.
Well,
what does that mean?
That's what everybody on Twitter said.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it's the most bizarre.
No, it the last few weeks has been very, very telling as to what's going on right now with the FDA and this administration.
Meanwhile, I did see a beginning of last week with the other Delta variant from the UK, because you and I had said before we went on vacation, unless there's another variant that's coming out, mm-hmm. that's a lot more contagious.
Right.
And I saw it beginning of last week, mm-hmm. or it might have been last weekend, a week ago, mm-hmm. where it was like this more contagious virus, 10 to 15%. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb said on Sunday that the latest Delta variant is not contagious enough to change the COVID-19 pandemic's trajectory in the United States. I don't think this is enough to really change the trajectory of the direction we're heading in. We're much closer to the end of this Delta wave than we are to the beginning. The South looks very good right now in the Midwest, where there's been a very dense epidemic. We're seeing cases starting to decline. Gottlieb said when on Face the Nation yesterday, He was asked if he's concerned about the new variant. There was a pickup in cases in the Great Lakes region in parts of New England, so that's concerning. This Delta wave still has to course its way through parts of the country. But I think as we get to Thanksgiving, maybe shortly afterwards, we're going to see a downswing across the entire United States. A mutation of the Delta variant, referred to as the Delta Plus strain, has started to emerge in the last few months in the United Kingdom. Most of the cases of the variant found in the U.S. have been reported in California and have largely been reported at lower rates than the original Delta strain.
Right.
He believes that the COVID-19 vaccine should be protective against the new variant, and it is unlikely that it would make inroads globally the same way the initial Delta variant did. Well, now, like I said, when you see the number of people, and what we're talking about is not, again, with especially because of this Delta variant spreading through the population as quick as it did, mm-hmm. which, again, provides a significant number. What that number is, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how you get, you know, I haven't seen a guesstimate from the CDC on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the vast majority, 96.3% of those over the age of 65, the most vulnerable, that have the first shot.
Right.
And 85% the second shot.
Right.
Not much more you can do.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, we're at the point now where those, everybody has made their decision. That's where we are. We're at the end of the line of the people who have, I would say, even hesitated to get the vaccine. We're coming to the end of that. That's it. And going forward on boosters, you know, the CDC, they can do whatever they want in changing definitions of fully vaccinated. You get into the mandates, you know, because, again, that's going to be put in motion by OSHA, which I think the court is going to destroy. But once they go in that direction, that's going to be the battle. I think Biden is creating yet another crisis, in political crisis, especially with this pending OSHA decision. Whatever that rulemaking is going to be, it has to include booster shots. How does it not? How do you make the ruling and then 2 years later saying, yeah, does it still apply? Because the recommendations have come out now, and recommendations will come out next year. More recommendations the following year. And we have 3 years and 3 months of this kind of activity, because this is who this administration is. This is who this president is. You're not going to challenge him, FDA.
By the way, we use Gottlieb quite frequently, even though he is on the Pfizer board, because he has been most accurate, especially since the vaccines have come out, mm-hmm. in predicting, and with the Delta variant, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He, as opposed to anybody else out there, in my opinion, has been closest to predicting what actually was going to happen.
Right, right. But it gets down to this, assessing your own risk.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see anywhere in the last few weeks where they were presenting, all right, how many people, again, had natural immunity going into the study for the boosters? How many of them were confirmed cases? How many of them were they able to test for antibodies, natural antibodies? Those are the questions that people ask. When you put out gibberish like, oh, some may prefer to do this, some may prefer to do that.
It's not my preference.
It's not about what the science is. This is the
supposed to
the
be
whole,
right.
It's right.
Right.
But not with this CDC director. It's about feelings. She's going to speak to you as a mother and a wife. Nope. I need some science. Very basic, plain English. Show me why.
And you saw the testimony from Birx, didn't you?
Mm.
When she talked about it, she believes the administration went about this completely wrong.
Yes, right.
Well, instead of you don't ostracize people in medical situations.
This is exactly who Izzy Mandelbaum is.
Yep.
Don't you dare challenge him. He'll go after you. He was shouting in the face of an auto worker when he was running for president. Who does that? Joe Biden. Don't you dare challenge him, even if you're one of the top people at the FDA. Don't you dare challenge him.
Yeah, I see this as it's going down in all states. And look, people are getting back, because this is what I love. Well, soon we'll be able to get back to normal. The vast majority of people are back to normal.
Yeah, we're already there.
I mean, except in some states.
Where, you know, they're going to have to make a choice soon.
Right, but in Texas, things are completely normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even in those blue states.
People were
screaming.
Yeah, when I was back in, at the Barclays Center.
Exactly.
In Brooklyn yesterday.
Exactly.
And it's Black Lives Matter.
Right.
That's protesting, yes. So when I was back in New York last week, when I was in Buffalo, but Buffalo, everything was back normal. People are doing whatever they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go to a game, you've got to be, you know, vaccinated or show is it vaccinated or the test? I forgot what it is. It's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to be vaccinated or you can't get in. But besides that, everybody's doing, I don't think there's any other rules like that going in any other business. Well, I went to a concert when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing. It was no masks. You just went in indoors,
right.
Everything.
Right.
So
yeah, I went into a store while we were on vacation, and the patrons it on the door, it said masks are highly recommended. So I walk in. There's a bunch of people wearing masks, but none of the employees were.
It was the opposite.
Okay. It was wild. And I didn't.
Yeah, so we just wanted to cover it here, go through what happened last week, and I don't know in anything that we have said where we are inaccurate.
Well, no, because nobody's answered the questions.
Right. And it's tough to be inaccurate when you're asking questions.
Well, because, again, that's, you know, we would have to be debating facts, and they're just throwing gibberish out. You know, some people may prefer. What do you mean some people may prefer? No. No, 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 no.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
The CDC believes that it is okay because, and then state the reason.
Yeah. I'm not a scientist. I didn't do the research.
Right.
Tell me why I can mix and match.
I mean,
because you told me I couldn't do it.
Right.
And now you're saying I can do it.
It's like you're in a children's clothing store. What is this, Garanimals? We now approve the mix and match. It is bizarre because it's really what we should expect from this administration. Because this was only about agenda. We've got to start pushing the boosters. Got to start pushing the boosters.
Why?
The FDA pushes back, and then all of a sudden, two top FDA officials are gone. Push, push, push. Because nobody tells Joe Biden no.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. By the way, coming up on the show.
More of the same.
No, the what's going on in Virginia governor's race. Last two polls, dead tied.
Mm.
I mean, just dead. And nobody over 50. And it's Obama was there over the weekend. And again, you know, he was called on Obama was called on in his lies, saying Republicans are, you know, systemically trying to keep Democrats and minorities from voting. It's like, okay. Oh, speaking of that, so are they, Georgia, are you moving the World Series? Moving the World Series to?
Move it to Texas.
Yeah. Right, Make it an I-35.
There you go.
Make it an I-35 World Series, Houston. Houston, and you can play at the stadium here in Arlington.
That's right. Yeah.
So
I think that would be I-45, but yeah.
I-45. Yeah. Okay. All right.
You could take 35, but it's going to be a scenic route.
I-45 yeah. series. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
One of the eyes.
One
of the eyes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got to figure that out, don't they?
You know, yeah, you can't have it there. You can't have it and can't have the World Series in Georgia.
Right. Where are you going to have it?
Yeah. So we will get to that. Wow.
Mm.
The Alec Baldwin shooting.
All right.
So many things to talk about.
First of all, tragic on so many levels. And then beyond that, the question of, all right, who is legally responsible? There's no doubt there will be lawsuits here. But then what about criminal charges? And who would be responsible if criminal charges were filed? Who could they be filed against? And a number of legal experts basically over the weekend analyzing that. And it just, you know, I guess my first question was, in the world of CGI, would you not move to make everything on a set like that safe?
Low budget movie? CGI more expensive?
CGI is very expensive. And then you had protests by people on the set that about the safety. Specifically, what were those concerns? And were they issued vocally over and over again?
Never should happen.
No.
This is totally preventable.
Accidents do happen, but can you still be charged criminally in a situation even if you didn't intend to injure or, in this case, kill someone? And the answer is yeah.
And and Twitter makes it clear that science is hate.
Of course.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the entire planet, we are Red Eye Radio. Get our Red Eye Radio app and put it on your phone and listen whenever you want. All right, so this is interesting. This happened when we were gone. Representative Jim Banks said Saturday that his official Twitter account had been suspended over a post he made about Department of Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary of Health Rachel Levine, who is transgender. According to a screenshot posted of the tweet, Banks said, quote, "The title of the first female four-star officer gets taken by a man," end of quote, a reference to Levine, who became the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps' first openly transgender four-star officer. Quote, Twitter said, "The account referenced has been temporarily locked for violating our hateful conduct policy." The account owner is required to delete the tweet before regaining access to their account. According to Twitter's hateful conduct policy, hateful conduct can include targeting, misgendering, or deadnaming of transgender individuals, end of quote. Now, I believe that Banks did that because in the official statement from HHS, it stated that Rachel Levine is the first female not transgender, and I reread it just to make sure.
Right.
It says female. So Jim Banks is being accused of hate speech for telling the truth about science. So now it's gone full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Science is hate.
Yes.
According to Twitter. I did see when I was on vacation, it said, we're going 3 weeks into the controversy of Dave Chappelle, who basically said, a male cannot be a female.
Right. And a male cannot give birth.
And a male cannot give birth. We're 3 weeks into that. The and controversy is
and
3 weeks
career.
Old.
Right. And his career now. Nope. You can't tell the truth anymore. Nobody wants to hear the truth. The left doesn't want to hear the truth.
Rachel Levine is not a female.
No.
That's not hate speech. That's that's scientific fact. But this is, understand, this is what the left is doing. It was when I saw it last week, and I actually read the statement, I went, whoa, we've gone full circle now in discussing this. And this is something that we've talked about, you know, and by the way, think about how misogynist, femophobic that is for the government to lie. You talk about misogyny? For the government, the United States government, to change the definition of a female.
For all of the women out there, congratulations.
Right.
Because the man says so.
Right. The man says that I'm a female, and so the first female 4-star admiral in HHS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is a male.
Right.
Not a female.
Because the man says so. And if you put something on Twitter to correct that, then the man,
right.
Jack,
the man
will shut you down.
Right. So that's where we've gotten to, ladies. We've gotten to the fact that
wow.
Right, exactly. Their misogyny and femophobia.
that if you
disagree with their misogyny and their femophobia, then you are involved in hate speech.
That's right.
This is where the left is now.
How dare you?
This is where Twitter is. And why? Because the man, who would be Jack in this case, who owns and runs Twitter, because the man says so. The man will determine what a female is, and women, you must submit, Eric, because
the man says so. But keep trying, ladies.
Ladies, someday you...
Actually, you won't be the first when it is actually the first female.
Right.
It won't be the first.
Right, exactly.
Think about
that's
that.
The whole point, yes.
Think about right. that when it's the first. And then someone on the left, here's my question for the liberal media. How are you going to cover that one?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for the first transracial.
Well, you know, again.
Here's the first black woman to do that.
Right.
She's white. No. She believes she is black.
Right.
Let's get to that point.
Rachel Dolezal. Well, in this case, I guess women should quit trying.
Yeah. Women quit trying
because you know,
the man
it's okay
can
because
do a better job.
The men can do it for you.
Right. The men. Women, you don't need to try because the man can now do it for you.
You know, just stop trying.
Well, you know, the misogyny and the femophobic nature of the liberal transgender activist movement and Twitter, the misogyny of Twitter right now,
yeah,
how misogyny, how the hatred of women, that exist in Twitter, the hatred of women that exist in the Biden administration by telling women that a man is the first woman to be a four-star admiral.
Yeah.
In the HHS Corps.
So when a woman reaches that level, how does the liberal media cover that?
The second woman? The second female?
Only the second female to do so. That's the only way they can go.
Do you remember just a couple of years ago? Well, you guys are confusing gender with sex. They're two different things.
Uh-huh.
Are they now?
Are they now?
How did that change? When did that change? I never got the memo on that one.
No, I guess we're not on the memo list.
I remember you and I going back and just researching and looking at the definition and doing all our research to go back to the 60s and 70s when gender was, you know, when gender was sex.
Right.
And then we actually went and said, okay, how did this start? Oh, it started with the liberal transgender activist movement. They decided to change the definition of gender, which at one time was sex.
Right.
And then for about a 30-year period or 40-year period, it remained that way till it became inconvenient, and then gender magically became sex again.
Step aside, ladies. The men will take care of this.
Right. Twitter, the United States government, HHS, will ensure that the misogyny and femophobia, the hatred of women continues, where man, the man decides, the male decides what defines a female.
Yep.
And that's, by the way, the women's rights movement today, the liberal women's rights movement, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The man gets to decide what the definition of a female is. Not science, the man.
Congratulations, ladies.
And they dare accuse the other side of hatred. Oh, my God.
Right.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Robert the Riveter says, we can do it.
Yes, exactly. You had to go back to World War II for that
yeah.
one. But
for those under the age of 90.
My dad got that one.
Yeah, your dad's laughing hard.
Hey, Dad, listen on the podcast tomorrow morning. That one was for you.
Wasn't it Rosie that? Nope.
Nope.
How dare you?
I mean, I'm dying laughing yesterday going, oh, my God, Twitter's accusing him of hate speech. The misogyny and femophobia, the hatred towards women is just so huge Twitter blocking that.
Yeah.
It's obvious. Everybody knows that. Think about the hatred that you must have if you are going to redefine what a female is and that a male can be a female because you say so. What kind of hatred towards females must you have in order to do that?
Well, and, you know, the fight for equality, equal pay, all of this out the window. Why?
Because the man says so. I don't know if that's the first time that on a document from, for example, it came from HHS, where they actually referred officially to a transgendered, female as a female,
right? Without using transgender,
without putting transgender,
right? Yeah, I don't recall on a government document that being the case,
because the female stood alone,
right?
And it was obvious
to
anybody who saw it last week. Okay. It was like, okay,
well, and if that's the case, then why are they trying to hide the transgender part? The transgender community should be upset.
Oh, well, it's true. That's right. This gets to be a pretty intense liberal firing squad.
You got to keep up with the rules. We don't write them.
No.
But you got to keep up with the rules. Because now you've left out the idea that, because that has to be the natural progression, right? Doesn't it have to be that next step? It's a female. Well, the transgender community, no, it's a transgender female. We need people to know. Well, apparently not.
No, it's female. Why?
Because the man says so.
And the man is always right. So the man gets to define.
And if you don't.
The word female.
Yeah, and if you don't believe that, just ask Twitter.
Yeah, ask Twitter.
Twitter's always right.
And if you do not believe in the misogynist femophobia of Twitter, then you are hateful.
That's right.
Somebody has to go through all of this. We have to go through the minutia of this.
I don't know what would be harder, writing that liberal playbook or working at the White House. It's got to be just as maddening, either way. But congratulations, ladies. You finally accomplished something. Not really, but.
Modern day feminism is men defining.
That's right.
What females are.
That's right. You didn't accomplish anything, but we can say you did.
Exactly.
It is.
I just love how they try to throw the hatred on the people that are questioning the truth of it.
Right.
And when you break it down, the hatred, all by their own definition, the hatred is on Twitter.
Right.
The hatred is from the liberal transgender activist movement. The hatred is from the Biden administration.
We'll shut you down if you don't talk and think the way we do.
We'll destroy your life if you believe in science.
That's it.
We'll marginalize you. We'll eliminate you. You don't matter.
Your livelihood is gone.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This is the Marketplace Minute. I'm Justin Ho. The stock market ended the week mixed. The Dow rose 0.2%, hitting a record high. But the S&P fell 0.1%. And the NASDAQ lost 0.8%. Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell says supply chain bottlenecks throughout the economy have gotten worse and are likely to persist. He says that's increasing the risk of higher inflation. But it doesn't mean he thinks it's time to raise interest rates. Business activity in the U.S. is picking up, according to new data from the research company IHS Market. The services sector has been growing the fastest in recent weeks, but the report said manufacturing growth is being held back by shortages and supply chain delays. And the parent company of Vans says its white slip-on shoes are getting a boost thanks to the hit Netflix TV show Squid Game. Characters in the show wear similar slip-ons. I'm Justin Ho with the Marketplace Minute.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. It's interesting because, you know, the liberal transgender activist movement is part of the governor's race in Virginia. Obama in there over the weekend saying, don't pay attention. It's all the culture war stuff is all trumped up. There's really nothing there.
Yeah.
Probably not the message to give to be dismissing it in the state of Virginia right now, as if it's nothing and it really doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's almost a challenge, actually. But, you know, in my opinion, the people of Virginia should have no say-so in who their governor is. Out of the McAuliffe playbook. And by the way, that was only... Actually, I don't know if that was as ridiculous as his comment about parents having a say-so in their children's education. But, yeah, I think right now... Clearly, McAuliffe is very concerned. Why do you call in Obama? And here's another question. My bigger question was, does Obama really help you? Think about this. He didn't call in Biden.
Wasn't he going to?
Well, the question is he the,
was
is
it
he
Harris?
That, is he that desperate? No, but the play was, the big political play was Obama.
It was Obama, yeah. Yeah.
Not Biden. No, I think he was asked about President Biden, and the first answer was like, we're not sure about the president's schedule. I am. From here on out, basement, 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 CNN Town Hall, basement, 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 CNN Town Hall. But I don't think that, I don't know that Biden, or Obama, rather, is a big bump for him. I really don't. And by the way, doesn't it seem that Barack Obama politically is just going through the motions? He just does
He doesn't
want to play in this game anymore. Here's your forecast.
The latest big storm just off the Pacific coast in the Northwest will continue to impact large parts of the West Coast through the first part of this week. That strong onshore flow will continue to bring precipitation into the northern and central parts of California today, which will bring heavy rainfall. The amount of moisture is expected to bring serious flash flooding to the region, and it's important to note here that areas that don't usually flood just might with this storm. Into the higher elevations of the Sierras, that precipitation will produce heavy snow in some areas, particularly through this afternoon. Meanwhile, an area of low pressure is bringing the threat of severe weather to the Central Plains and Ohio River Valley this morning in the form of heavy rain, hail, and possibly a few tornadoes. We'll have to keep out an eye for thunderstorms and the potential of flash flooding across the region as well. Eventually, the system will move into the Mid-Atlantic and Southern Appalachians this afternoon and could eventually bring heavy rain into New England before moving off the coast on Tuesday. And that's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Bill Rakoff.
Your forecast is brought to you by Kendall Super DFE. Its low viscosity leads to increased protection and fuel savings, and that leads to victory. Kendall Motor Oil. You get out what you put in.
It's Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, all night. Suck it up. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you'd like to get in on the show today. Good morning. Welcome. Talking about the Virginia governor's race, where last two polls that I saw was 46-46 and then 48-48, which means nobody's over 50 here. At this particular point, I was reading here a National Journal article, Democrats overplaying the Trump card,
right?
In Virginia, most of the Democrats' closing campaign ads try to tie Youngkin to the former president, including a new television spot that references the 2017 Charlottesville riots. He repeatedly calls Youngkin a Trump wannabe on the campaign trail and warns that a Youngkin victory would be a preview of a political Trump political comeback. Talking about in different races, it just goes through different races, you know, local races, how using that hasn't worked in Virginia.
Right.
You know, you look at it in California and you say, did it work in California? It may have worked in California. Does it work in Virginia, and how long will it work for, especially when you're talking about specific local issues? When you get down to what are driving a ton of different people there is local control of the school districts. You know, people are thinking about inflation. Yeah. People are thinking that. But when it comes to local control of the school districts, I'm sure that one of the top issues has to be, especially with how much attention has been paid to this in Virginia, is do we control, do we have local control of what goes on in our school districts? Are we pleased with what the state is doing? And even if we have local control, has it gone absolutely crazy? And when you look at, for example, think about this if you're in Virginia and all of a sudden the Department of Justice getting involved in it. and then it gets to the federal government. You're tying the federal government right to the state and right to the Board of Education at that particular point.
Right.
It's all one.
Right.
There is no difference. It's not. And so you're looking at this saying, what does Trump have to do with any of this?
Right.
Trump's got nothing to do with any of this.
Right.
This is all on Democrats. Everything here is on Democrats. When you have what Terry McAuliffe said about parents.
Yeah.
It eventually gets to a point where you're like, you can't win on the issues. You're just hitting Trump. Well, I can see an average citizen or independent in Virginia saying, Trump's got nothing to do with any of this.
Well, there's
Trump's
that,
not here.
Yeah, there's that, and I think there's also the Biden effect, which is real. In other words, yeah, maybe we didn't really like Trump personally, but things were never this bad. And what's going on with the Biden administration and McAuliffe would be basically a continuation of that on the state level. And of course, adding to it, of course, first and foremost, what he said about parents and their children's education. All of that is, again, a history of the Democrats telling people, you're too stupid to run your lives. We're going to run your lives for you. Then you hit with inflation. You hit with everything that right now is a crisis at the Biden White House. And sorry, McAuliffe shares in some of that. And people are looking at the mindset going, yeah, no, I don't think so. Again, we don't know which way it's going to go. But it is not right now working in the favor of the Democrats. I really wonder about the polls. I wonder how close they are. But they have been moving consistently. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, I haven't seen anywhere where either of them are over 50.
When you have Obama there saying, we don't, here's a quote. We don't have time to be wasted on these phony, trumped up culture wars, this fake outrage the right wing media's peddles to juice their ratings, end of quote. He didn't get specific. Well, yeah, what are you talking about, though?
Right.
You're talking about, if you're talking about the culture issues, what are you talking about? Critical race theory? And the liberal transgender activist movement.
Yep. Yeah.
Except for the most loyal Democrat out there. Who else are you speaking to?
Right.
You can't be trying to energize the independent by saying that because the independent isn't going to buy that in Virginia.
Virginia approval numbers for Biden, 38% according to the Civics poll, which is a moving daily poll. Disapproval 53%. Again, I think that has some effect. To what extent, we'll see. But McAuliffe owns a huge part of it in trying to, again, with his arrogance, which runs throughout his party, in that you're too stupid to run your children's education. We'll do that. The state will do that. You know, that dismissive attitude is what has the left right now, I think, quite possibly in a downward spiral as a party as a whole. We'll see again what happens in Virginia. But it's just, that's arrogance to a whole new level. You don't get a say-so, parents.
Yeah, and we had talked about the fact that if some people, you know, that the, part of the explanation was, well, every parent can't be telling,
that wasn't the question.
That wasn't
and that's
the
not
question.
What McAuliffe was saying.
Right, and nobody bought into the fact that, well, Republicans believe, the Republican candidate believes that every parent should get an individual education for their child based on what the parent wants specifically, and the teacher, if there's 37 kids in the classroom, then the teacher must specifically teach to each and every kid what that parent wants. That was being thrown out there, and I'm like, nobody's buying that one.
No, that's a straw man argument.
It was the general thing that if you're teaching our kids that all whites are racist, that you're stupid if you don't realize the majority of the public does not want you teaching that way.
Right.
if you're teaching that the majority that racism is inherent almost in the DNA, to quote Obama, who was mm-hmm. in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
that's what Obama said, mm-hmm. racism's in the DNA. How long ago was that? When did he say that?
That was in his second term,
I think it was.
Yeah.
And we said, wow, how close can you get to being throwing out a racist comment when he said that way back when? But when you say, no, sorry, it's the culture, because what they're trying to say is the culture of racism is so great that it's embedded in every single white person. They can't get rid of it, which means society has to be set up because you, as a black person, have no chance of making it because of the way that the system has been set up.
Right.
So you'll eternally be a victim because they're eternally going to be an oppressor.
The permanent crisis.
Well, as we found out, a lot of blacks don't want that to be taught.
No. There was outrage.
That you treat people as individuals. That's what you do. You judge people by the content of their character. You're not going to win that argument with the majority of the parents. And so that's why they viewed it. And then the liberal transgender activist movement?
Yeah.
With the pronouns and where we saw it went with HHS last week. You see where they want it to go. Women, you are defined by the man because...
The man says so. And because Obama said so.
And because Obama says so. And, exactly.
And these are the absolutes that the left has looked to implement across the board. You question that, Twitter will shut you down. They'll take your voice.
By the way, that keeps adding to all of it.
Yeah. I mean, they really believe, and they believe they're championing a cause that everyone is behind. I don't know how many times over and over again they have to be, again... they have to deal with this massive rejection of their ideas, but we're seeing it more and more. I don't care if it's a vaccine mandate, any of the protests. And, of course, you know, what's going on in schools right now and what the left wants to implement in classrooms for children.
You know, something I actually read the entire transcript of Obama's speech. He didn't say anything.
No, that's what
he didn't. It was the Obama of 2008 where he didn't have to say anything. It's just the imagery of himself that got it through. And in this thing, he said nothing.
He's going through the motions.
Yes.
And it makes you wonder to what end. I just don't think that he. Look, we talked about it in 2011, at the end of 2011. Chris Matthews at the time talking about how he didn't like the gig. Well, as ex-president. Does he really want to go out and campaign? Because Joe can't do it. They may ask Joe to do it, but everybody knows Joe Biden's not going to get the job done. If his approval numbers, if this is accurate in the civics polling, and he's well underwater by, 15 points? In Virginia? I don't think Biden's going to get it done for you, even if he were capable of getting it done logistically. He's not going to be able to get it done for you. You can't be underwater like that and expect to be a mover and shaker in your own party, even as the head of your own party. Wow. I'm telling you, what a mess. We'll see how it goes in Virginia. I do have to wonder if these polls are close. The movement seems to be similar from different pollsters. But it seems to be locked in somewhere between that 46 and 48 number.
You have, we're looking at another poll here in a little bit just on what people are worried about. And it's really interesting because when you look at And this is national. This was the CBS YouGov poll.
Right.
And it was really fascinating.
Mm.
People don't care about infrastructure.
They're
up there talking about infrastructure.
As we said.
Nobody cares about
it. We said this
it.
Before we left.
And the poll is, because we had said that before.
Right.
It seemed like nobody's really paying attention to infrastructure. They're up there doing it every day. But you don't hear any talk in the street.
No.
They got to get this bill done.
No.
You don't hear it at all. And
no.
Infrastructure used to be something that was of concern. But what we found out was, this goes back about, well, 45 days ago, where we were looking at it and we said, my God, look at this. People now have looked at the infrastructure and what the spending is of the Democrats, and they're more concerned not about that enough won't be spent, but this is going to cause inflation. And it was
right.
Over 60%.
Right.
And you and I were blown away by that number, saying, wow, had people put together the fact that government, might have been 2 months ago.
It was several weeks ago.
That the government spending is huge.
It's
government
too much.
Spending is tied to inflation, and that's what they notice.
Right.
And so when you look at there, I'm thinking to myself, when you look at some of the economic numbers out there, if you're trying to tie yourself to Obama, Biden, whatever, mm-hmm. as the solution, because we need to move forward and we need to make sure we support our schools. Well, right now in Virginia, that's not the message.
Right.
Supporting your schools when your schools are talking about critical race theory and liberal transgender activist movement, it's the opposite. Mm. It's get rid of the people that are running the schools.
Right.
So it'll be an interesting to see, what happens in Virginia, because it's obvious. Now, I'm not there to see what's going on inside the state, but it's interesting those inside the state saying, wow, there's so much from the Democrats, just pound, everything is on Trump. Trump, 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 Trump. And does it get to a point where you finally say, look at the economy, look at the prices.
Right.
Trump isn't in office anymore.
Everything is broken. This ain't Trump.
Yeah. What are you doing? 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Crowley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye, coming up on the top of the hour. Some of the latest polling that's been done about what Americans actually care about right now. I just found it interesting because don't care about infrastructure. This old debate about spending and everything else, Americans don't care about.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Gotta run, we'll return next right here on Red Eye Radio.